John chapter 6, take your Bibles if you would turn there please, John chapter 6, good to be here tonight. there's a lot going on in some people's lives and in some families right now. Some I can talk about, some I can't. Brother Jamie Doyle, dear friend of ours, the Doyle family, I just love them to death, but Pastor Jamie Doyle and his wife Christy, their daughter had a stillbirth last night, 20 weeks old, and they're pretty shook up over it. I sent condolences to him, told him, you know, I know what this is like, and I know what it, you know, I know the feelings that go along with it as a grandfather to that, and I just let him know that God's people would be praying for him. So you pray for the Doyle family tonight, if you would. A longtime friend of ours, her and her husband were coming to this church years ago, Dick and Betty Boyer. They've been going to the DeSoto Church now for many, many, many years. But she is, her and her husband both are in the hospital with COVID, and they have called the family in for her because she's probably not going to make it. They've moved, Dick in with her to be in the same room with her, as she passes. So, her name is Betty Boyer, and just lift her up. Dear saint of the Lord, I love her dearly, and just continue to pray for her. Sister Helen's sister passed away the other day. They had a short gathering today over at Vineyard, and a small memorial service for her sister. So pray for Brother Chris and Sister Helen and Sister Megan. And pray for all their family, that God will help them as they go through this time, that God would bless them and comfort them that mourn. I got a phone call from a lady last week, Paige. I did call her. Her name is Annette Davis. And her husband passed away of COVID-related symptoms. He had some heart issues, went along with it. And he passed away, and it's just hitting everybody real hard. The way she talked, what happened to him sounded exactly like what happened to Wayne. And, we know that. We've been through that. And, then there's some people that, I've got on my mind and my heart. I want you to pray for them and lift them up. Brother Reg Kelly called me yesterday afternoon while I was out pulling thistle weeds out of my garden. And that's not a good time to call me because I'm usually mad. And I told him, he just called to encourage me. And I said, well, I need the encouragement. I'm pulling these thistles out of my flower garden. And all they are is reminding me of my sins. And I said, why don't they grow all up in 1 year so I can get them all out in 1 year? And he said to me, he said, it's in the dirt, isn't it, Mike? I said, yes, it is. And I know what he means by that. But he's got a little thing going on health-wise, and it's not too big a deal, but he didn't make a big deal about it. But I want you to pray for Brother Reg, lift him up. And then I'll be leaving Friday morning and headed to Lake of the Ozarks. I'll be preaching down there. They're having a revival this week. And I'll be preaching down there Friday night. I'm a little nervous about preaching down there. I've never met these people, most of them. I don't know the church. And, they're letting me preach on UFOs. And that kind of scares me a little bit. So how far back I have to go to get the information out. I got a lot of information. I don't know how much of it to give out. So if they're willing to sit there 4 hours, we might have a good service. But other than that, I don't know. So just pray for me as I travel down there. I got a call from another pastor down in Fort Smith, Arkansas, wants me to come in November. And, so it's turning out to be pretty busy. And so just continue to pray for that. Pray for our radio ministries in Kenya. God has truly blessed that and is still continuing to do the work that He's been doing down there. So I want you to continue to pray for them. We'll do another feeding here before too long, I'm pretty sure. So just keep that on your mind and heart as you go to prayer. Let's begin in John chapter 6. And I can't tell you where I left off the last time, so I'm just going to pick it up here and we'll just go down from there. John chapter 6, verse 30. and keep in mind now, John 6:66 is in this chapter. Keep that in your mind. There is a reason why it is in this chapter. Okay? And he's, I think the context is going to lead us into that. So in verse 30, we're 36 verses away from John 6:66. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we see thee and believe thee? And remember, the Jews always asking for a sign. They want miracles. Remember what they had in the wilderness. They had signs. They had signs shooting out of their ears, and they still didn't believe what God was telling them to do. So, and God knew that. So he said, what dost thou work? Verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And here it is. They're bragging on this now. Their fathers despised that bread. But they're acting like our fathers received manna in the wilderness. God has chosen us above all the people of the earth. They're boasting and bragging. And you can clearly look back at those times when they hated and despised the manna that God fed them in the desert. And it's no different now. And I'm saying no different even among us now. We can boast and brag about, oh, I've done this and I've done that, and bless God, we believe the King James Bible, we've got our doctrine right, and all this and that. But you're not right with God. You can boast about all those things and still not be right with God. So he said in verse, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. But for Moses, Moses didn't make it. My Father did. My Father gave that to you. I was there. In fact, I was that bread. You didn't know it. But I did. And what does the word manna mean? It's a Hebrew word for what is it? What is it? Literally, that's what it means. What is it? They had no idea that this goes all the way back to Exodus 16. God sent it down from heaven. They looked at it and said, manna. Because they said, what is it? And God told them what to do with it every day. It was their bread from heaven. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That's what Christ came here to do, is to give his life. Now, I am for life. I am for two lives. I am for the eternal life that God gives us in glory. I am also for the life that God gives us down here in this world. And I believe that if God has given you a new start, Roy, you're right. If God has given you a new start, a new chance at life, I think you ought to take advantage of it. I think you ought to live it better the second time than you did the first time. Not make the same stupid mistakes as you did the first time. Enjoy. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. There's nothing wrong with me enjoying those 14, soon to be 15 grandchildren whose names sometimes escape me, whose birthdays I will never remember, but I enjoy them anyway. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So he said, verse 34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, they also have... And again, here's what I believe that means. That once you have given your heart and your life over to the Word of God, studying it, believing it, reading it, thinking about it, praying it, yes, there have been times I've pointed to verses, read them out loud to God, and said, God, you swore this, you said you would do this, God, I need you to do this in my life right now. I don't believe they're magic words that if you recite them, that God proof instantly does whatever He wants, but I can tell you that God led me one day to read verses out loud to Him. I was sitting in my office, I had tears running down my eyes, and I said, God, you promised you would do this, God, and I need this done. God, will you do this? And I want to tell you something. That was, my goodness, 25, 26, 27 years ago, something like that. God's still doing it. Still doing what He said. And He's talking about the Bible that's been given to us. He said, I am that bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I'm telling you that once you really become truly saved, you will not want to turn away ever again. You hang on to it. Now, what I'm preaching on Sunday morning, that does not mean that every now and then you don't go out and sample the cookies someplace else. Because pert near all of us have. But we've always come right back to the Word of God. If you don't, that's what makes you Korah. Or that's what makes you one of the people that got bit by the fiery serpents and died. So anyway, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 36, but I said unto you, they also have seen me and believe not. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no... Listen, watch this now. Underline this in your Bible. Here is, if you want a security verse, if you want a verse that shows you that God will never get rid of you, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, do I believe there's a condition to this? Yes. God has to give you to Christ. God has to do that. Who does God do that to? Those who believe and trust in Him and will remain so in that way. God knowing the outcome of your life. You've heard me preach enough. You know I use people as examples. And I just want to say to you, I don't know the outcome, Anthony, of your life. But God does. And God knows whether or not you're going to make it. Now, you've got all of us here. We've only met you one time. If it was up to us, we'd all say, Lord, I love this man. Let him in. Okay? So, God sent you here to be loved on today. And you're loved on. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now I've had people tell me, Pastor, I heard somebody say that if you commit the same sin over again, that God won't forgive you anymore. And I asked them immediately, what verse did they use to tell you that? They said, well, they didn't really use a verse. I said, if they didn't use a verse, then it's a lie. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, is there a number count to that, to where God says, sorry, that was one too many, and I'm not gonna forgive you anymore? Nope. Now, if you can stand a whooping, commit the sin. But when you get tired of the whooping, you'll be tired of the sin too. Okay? Now, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And I want to say this in several different ways. Number one, seek out the will of God in your life for your life. Number two, do not seek the will of God for somebody else's life. It's none of your business. None of your business. Jesus made that clear when He was blessing John and Peter said, Lord, what about my blessing? Because Peter wasn't promised the same thing He had promised John. He promised John that John would not die until he saw His kingdom. And that is true. Because John lived into his 90s. And did he get to see the kingdom? Yeah, he wrote it in the book of the Revelation. He got to see it. Doesn't say that he wouldn't die until the kingdom of God came into effect. He said he would see the kingdom, and that's exactly what happened. And when Peter questioned that, Jesus said, what if he should tarry until I come? What is that to thee? Peter, I've got a way for your life, and I got a way for John's life. Now, if that bothers you, about John's life and what I gave to him, too stinking bad. Because it's not your place. It's not your business. It doesn't belong to you. So number one, seek out God's will for your life. Number two, don't worry about seeking God's will for somebody else's life. Number three, seek out God's will for our church together. Just ask God. God, what do you want our church doing? What do you want our church doing? Okay? I am not an administrative pastor. An administrator pastor. That is not my gift. I do not plan things. I do not sit down and organize the way this church should be run. I am very poor at that. Anybody that's been here long enough and knows me knows I'm not cut out that way. I have seen in years gone by, I've read business meeting notes of petty stuff that were brought up to be voted on. Petty. Piddly little things that all it does is get one woman mad at another woman. Okay, and we're not going to do that here. I've seen it happen. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. You run me out if you want, but I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. But anyway, pray for your church's will, that God will continue to show us what He wants us to be doing, and that we follow His will together. Okay? So He says, back again in verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." You'll read more of that in John 17. He talks more about it then. "And this is the will of Him that sent me," verse 40, "that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, just as a little side note, one of my 100,000 favorite places in the Bible is in Hebrews 10. Turn there very quickly. Hebrews 10. It's a beautiful passage. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." By the way, that's a double fulfillment. God prepared a flesh and blood body for Christ's first coming in the form of being birthed through the womb of the Virgin Mary. God has also prepared a body for His second coming. That body consists and is composed of all believers. And I smile every time I think about that, because I think that is the coolest thing in the world, that we literally are going to be the body of His second coming. And I cannot fathom what that's going to look like. But it's going to look absolutely glorious. Okay? "But a body hast thou prepared me." Verse 6, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." Look at verse 7. "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." And I'm going to say it for the 100th time. If it was good enough for Jesus to do it according to the book, then it's good enough for us to do it according to the book. Do it the way the Bible says to do it. These gentlemen were asking me a question earlier, and it is not just a tradition, because he had his cap on, and I'm like you. I like to get up in the morning. If I don't want to fuss with my hair, just throw a cap on it. Okay, you see me with a cap on, that means I have not combed nor washed my hair that day. Don't ask me to. Okay. Yeah, Derek had a little cap on, and he had said something about, I didn't say anything to him, I promise. He said, I guess we have to take these off, don't we? And I said, huh? Yeah, it's okay to ask. Okay, I'm not going to hit you. I haven't hit anybody yet. And I don't have the verses here in front of me, but Paul wrote this out plainly. And he said, it is not, just like it is not comely for a woman to be shaven or shorn, her hair is her covering, and she must have her head covered when she comes in the house of God for prayer and whatever. And he said, the men of God, just as it is against nature itself for men to have long hair, he said, likewise, for men to have their head covered, he said, it's not right for you to have your head covered while you're praying or prophesying. God said it was wrong. And I look at all these Jewish men who wear the yarmulke. They believe that God has told them to do that, and that that is disrespectful to God to have your head bare before God. And yet God says exactly the opposite. It's disrespectful for you to cover your head. As a man, take off your hat. When you come into the house of God, remove your hat. Now, there's traditions that we have. When a lady steps into a room, we remove our hat to them. That's a tradition. But that's not given to us in Scripture. This is plainly told us in Scripture that in the house of God, we are to remove our head. The men are to remove their lids, their caps, their head coverings. They're to take them off because praying and prophesying will be taking place. I see some of these, what they call cowboy churches. And I get it. They're trying to look like cowboys, you know, to draw people to a cowboy church. But you'll have guys preaching with a Stetson hat on, a cowboy hat. That is wrong. Take that hat off. It is wrong to prophesy with a hat on. It is wrong. It is wrong to pray, men, with a hat on. God said it. I don't know why He said it, but He said it, and I'm going to do it. Okay? So this is not just some silly rule that we made up for men to remove their hats, nor are we following just some ancient tradition that we've forgotten why we do it. We just do it. I don't know anything about the other traditions, why you should tip your hat to a lady or what a salute is. Some say the salute is you sliding up the little covering of your helmet, you know, so you can see their eyes. I don't know about all that. I just know that when you come into the house of God, men, remove your hats because you're going to be praying and prophesying. That is in the Scriptures. We do it that way for a reason. Okay? And I tell you, I preached something. I got on something here several years ago. And there was some things bothering me because some people were getting tattooed. And I had preached against it. And I hadn't said anything in a while. And there was a man that kept showing up with new tattoos. And so finally I got to one of those things where I said, I think I'm supposed to say something, but I think I'm going to make some people mad. And that man said, you better say it, Brother Mike. I'm telling you, you better say it. If God's telling you to say it, you say it. I said, I was looking down at the floor. I said, why are people getting tattoos when God said, don't get them? You could have heard a pin drop on this carpeted floor. You could have heard a pin drop on that floor. And that man's no longer with us. Now, God said, don't do that. I don't know why He said don't do it, but if He said don't do it, don't do it. It is our responsibility. Verse, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do Thy will, O God. God is the one who sets the rules for our lives. God is the one, ladies, God is the one who will tell you what's modest. God will tell you how long your shorts and cutoffs should be. By the way, He says it in two different places. Cover the thigh. Do not show your thigh. That's showing your nakedness. That's what God said. I didn't say it. God said it. And that's a rule to follow. Cover your thighs. There are many things in this book. And people say, well, we're under grace now. We don't have to do all that stuff. I want to tell you something. If you're really seeking to live for God, you will ask God questions. God, how do you want me to dress? God, how do you want my hair? God, how do you want me to run my home? God, how do you want this? God, how do you want that? You will ask God questions on how God wants your life to go. Don't ask me, ask God. And then He'll show you in the book what He wants out of you. And it'll be in the book. We had a couple guys years ago, I remember back in the 80s. Couple guys, they got saved. It's two different men at two different times they got saved. And within weeks, both those men was getting their hair cut. That was back, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s. Men was kind of growing their hair real kind of long and shaggy. And preacher never said a word to them about it. All of a sudden, zip, 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 they're getting their hair cut. What's that all about? Well, it just seemed like that's what God was having me to do. He wanted me to cut my hair. And it happened. And I'm just telling you, if God's telling you to do it, do it. Now don't give me this nonsense. Well, God told me to do it. Where is it in the book? Well, it's not in the book, but God told me to do it anyway. And that's fine if you want to live that way, but don't impose that on everybody else. Because if you can't find it in the book, you didn't get it from God, probably. Verse 8, above when He said, sacrifice an offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. Now he's talking about a billion things. But in this case, He's talking about removal of the old covenant and replacing it with the new covenant. He taketh away the old that He may establish the second. He's established the second covenant, which is God will forgive all of your sins. God will let you in heaven, not because you did one thing right or a billion things right or you never did anything wrong, which is impossible, but because Christ did everything right, God will let you in if you trust in that. Somebody say amen. That's it right there. It's by the book. By the book. Now, over at John chapter 6, verse 41. Then the Jews murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Look up. It'd be an interesting study for you to look up how many times the word Jew and murmur is in the same verse together in the Bible. Probably more times than the word and is, okay? Jews murmur. They murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that He says, I came down from heaven? Number one, they got it wrong. This is Jesus, but His father is not Joseph. Your King James Bible makes that very clear to you. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets. Now he's going to quote their Bible. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father save he which is God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread of which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now he's talking about his body given on the cross, and he's also talking about the words that he speaks. And he's going to make that real plain here in just a minute. Now, John chapter 6, verse 52. Now, the Jews, again, murmuring, fighting, striving. One thing I know about us Christians is that we love to fight. Fight over doctrine. Fight over prophecy. Fight over what the Bible says, what the Bible doesn't say, what God meant, what God really should have meant, what God said, what God didn't say. I mean, we just fight all the time. And I don't expect that everybody has to agree with everything I say. But one thing that I've made it a point in my ministry. Guys like Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, I'll go after them every day of the week and twice on Sundays. I don't mind. They're false prophets. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Them and Benny Hindu and Joyce Myers and all that garbage. That's all. That's just a joke. It's just a joke is what it is. If I know of a minister that somebody sends me something, Pastor, you see what this certain minister said, if I know he preaches and believes the King James, I will not call him out. It's just, I won't do it. Now I may bring up the issue, but I will not call somebody out on that. I leave the King James people alone. But we fight about things. And I just don't like it. So anyway, he said, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now before we get down too far into this and get it kind of mixed up, I want to draw your attention to something. Brother, these two gentlemen sitting next to you there, who are they to you? Yeah. Okay. All right. So in a way, we call them blood kin, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Blood kin. So my sister, my mom, my dad, all my cousins. I got to see some of my cousins again when my uncle died. We are blood. We are of the same blood. We call it, we use that phrase, we're of the same blood. Now what is that, what's the scientific meaning behind that? Same DNA. We share a common DNA. Because all of us cousins, myself, my sister, and then the children that my aunt had on my dad's side, she had 1, 2, 3, 4. And so we're all blood kin. That means that we all share the DNA that comes from the same grandparents. Meemaw and Peepaw, we call them. And that's why when I found out when my uncle Harry passed away and I was in Arkansas, I said, I'm going, because that's my blood, that's my kin, that's my family. And I want you to understand this when he's talking about the blood. The Bible tells us that the life is in the blood. Well, what's in the blood? DNA. DNA. DNA is a rolled up book that has everything in it that makes us who we are, as born, that makes us blood relatives of Jesus Christ. You understand that now? So can we have a special service where we turn grape juice and say, in hoc est corpus meum, can we change that juice into literal blood? No, that's stupid. But what is the blood of Christ? Is it not the book? He said, I've come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So anyway, he says, verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself what his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Watch this, and underline this in your Bible. He's going to connect it the way I said it a while ago. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Boom, there it is. What's the DNA all about? It's the words. The book of DNA that makes J.R. Callie the blood offspring of John and Melissa. Okay? And nothing changes that. Nothing changes that. Until about 10 years from now when they'll start changing it. So now watch this. Here's what he said. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now let's go from there. I'm almost done. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, watch it. Look at verse 66. John 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What direction did they go? Back. What direction did the Israelites want to go? Back. When they got to the waters there at the Red Sea, they said, let's go back. When they got to the waters of Meribah, let's go back. When they got to Mount Sinai, they said, let's go back. When they got, the 10 spies came back and said, we can't go in there. Let's go back. They were always wanting to go back. And I want to tell y'all, everybody here, listen to me. You'll always have something. Roy, say amen to this. After 32 years, there's a drink that he left on the table 32 years ago that's calling him back to this very day. He left his last drink on the table and it's still calling him back, saying, come back to me. come back. Let's undo the 32 years and let's tie one on. One day at a time. So I'm just telling you, people, the book, that's why this church gets attacked. That's why our radio ministry gets attacked. That's why our families get attacked. That's why my family members get attacked. That's why every now and then we all want to spit in each other's face and punch each other's nose and everything else. That's why all that stuff happens. It's because we're standing on this book. And the devil wants us to give it up and go back. There's nothing back there. It's not back there. What you think is back there is not back there.